This is the epilogue, the final episode of Doc, the premier case of the Monterey Mystery, featuring consulting detective Francie Leviard. For the previous episodes, please go to the archives. Ariane was just getting out of her car when Francie pulled into the parking lot of the Monterey Police Department. She came over and gave Francie a big hug. And with her hands holding Francie's upper arm, she looked into her friend's face carefully. Then she asked, "Cher ami, you got some of your beauty rest, yes?"
"I did, thanks to you, Ariane," Francie told her. "We are sisters, I told you that."
She let her go, turned, and as they headed for the main entrance, she slipped her arm through Francie's. Francie tossed a quick glance at her and saw a broad, deep smile on her face. Another appeared on her own. Lestrade Hopkins entered the reception area on the other side of the glass as they were coming through the front door. Upon seeing them, he reversed a step and came over to open the door for them. "Good morning, ladies," he said cheerfully. "Hi, Les," Francie said. "This is Ariane Chavas, my close friend and colleague." "And lifesaver," he said, shaking her hand in both of his. "I personally, and everyone who knows Francie, am most grateful to you." Ariane blushed lightly. "We are sisters," she said softly, as though he might understand. There was a moment's hesitation, and then he did. Come in," Les said, gesturing down the hallway. "My office, Francie," he added, since she knew where it was. It wasn't a large room for the chief of police, but it was comfortable and less intimidating than those of some officers who are in greater need of feeling and control. The two women sat in chairs in front of his desk as the chief went around and sat in his desk chair. He leaned forward on his desk. "Can I offer you some coffee or something?" They shook their heads. He nodded. "Well, I'm pleased to say that there have been some developments since you left here last night, or early this morning, I should say." His face indicated that they were positive developments. "The DA was up with Adler and his mother at the hospital, and both are singing. The mother admitted everything, the son taking no responsibility." Ariane and Francie looked at each other, sharing smiles of satisfaction. "And there's more," the chief said, regaining their attention. "The accident?" Francie said. She had told Ariane about it over their early morning pizza. "The death of the father." Les looked at her in half surprise. He knew her too well to be startled any more. "Yeah, exactly," he rubbed his hands together. "The woman from the DA's office told the kid right up front that he was in for 3-strike sentencing for the breaking and entering, attempted murder and use of a gun, and the kid asked for a deal. The assistant DA said maybe, and the kid told her that his mother had told him she had deliberately crashed the car to kill his father so they could have a better life together. It seems that they were, kind of close." He scrunched his face. "I didn't know how close, but it seemed over the top to me. Anyway, when the ADA confronted the mother, noting that the son had ratted her out to avoid 3 strikes, she jumped on board and said it was all true. She wasn't angry at her son. She was still trying to protect him." The next glance Ariane and Francie shared didn't include smiling. Ariane asked, "So does that mean that the man gets off leniently?" Her displeasure was clear. "He is very dangerous, unbalanced, you know. He was going to kill Francie, and he was going to enjoy it. I saw that in his face." Francie reached her hand over and gave her friend's shoulder a gentle squeeze. Then to the chief, "He's a sick puppy, Les." The chief nodded. "Yes, and the DA knows that, too. Even if they drop the B&E down to a misdemeanor as part of the deal, with what he told the ADA about the murder of his father. Talk about sick and the acorn not falling far from the tree and all that. He will probably be charged with conspiracy after the fact, on top of everything else. He won't be coming out for at least 20 years, if ever." "What about the mother?" Francie asked. "She bears most of the responsibility, it seems." Les shrugged his shoulders. "With the time she's up for, she may never see him again." "How do you call that?" Ariane asked. "Poetry and justice?" "Poetic justice, indeed," the chief said, nodding his head sagely. "Not a poem, but justice at last." Ariane and Francie signed their statements and soon left the police station. Francie invited her to have some brunch, but Ariane took a rain check. "I feel like a nap," she said. "After the completion, you know." Francie knew.
"I guess I'll need a new nurse," said Congressman Doc Hardwick from Washington.
"Yeah, Doc, sorry to put you to the trouble," Francie replied.
"I'm so glad it's over," he said.
Even 3,000 miles away, Francie could hear the relief in Doc's voice. She told him, "I think people who have that kind of condition, or whatever it might be called, bad character, give off vibrations that make life difficult for everyone around them. I suppose the people who came to your office for treatment maybe didn't really notice because most of them weren't feeling so hot in the first place. You did very well, Francie, he said, and I am most grateful. You'll need some bismuth when you get my bill, she replied. Her client laughed. Whatever it is, it will be worth it. Then he added, and by the way, I don't know if you heard from the district attorney, that Eileen also admitted to fiddling with the books. No, she said, I didn't, but I guess that fills in some blanks. It seemed like what she was taking in terms of drugs was small time. How much did she get you for? There was a pause before he told her. Upwards of $400,000. Francie gave a long whistle. How was it that you didn't notice that much was missing? Not to make you feel guilty or anything. No, you're quite right. I should have been keeping a better eye on things. But most of that money was supposed to be going to an investment account, an emergency fund that was supposed to be my retirement, and I just never thought about it much since I was getting my congressional salary. Are they going to be able to get it back for you? Her property would be worth twice that. The district attorney said I needed to file a civil action, but they froze her assets, so I should recover it. Maybe with interest, too. Oh, good. Then I won't feel guilty about my bill. He laughed again. But the big thing is that she's gone, he sighed deeply, and I can't thank you enough. For me, Dr. Barrett, and our patients. I'm glad for you, Doc. I'm glad to get those two off the street. No telling what harm they might have done. He thanked her again, and they ended their call. Francie got up from her desk and went into the kitchen where she put on a kettle to make tea. While she stood at the counter, waiting for the water to boil, she looked across her living room and out the big glass windows toward the ocean. Her mind traveled over time and space as the conversation with Doc Hardwick had produced completion for the case. She was pleased with the resolution, of course, for herself and for her client. She even did her best to wish that the Adlers would get some help in prison, though with all the budget cuts that seemed unlikely. Maybe they'd find religion and wouldn't be so dangerous when they got out, but Francie made a note to herself to call the DA so she would be notified when they were released. The kettle whistled and brought her back with a smile. This was the final episode of Doc, but surprise, surprise, a new Monterey mystery begins right now when Francie Leviard steps into a political miasma in A House Divided.